All right, y'all, welcome back. Welcome back to another episode of Hashtag CB99 Talks. This is episode 92. Of course, I'm Combo Breaker 99. All right, y'all, welcome back. Welcome back, WMMA fans. Back with another episode once again. I know I was going to do one last week, but once again, I've been busy, you know. But the week before that, you know, I had my little vacation and everything, but I'm going to get another one in because, you know, it's just been grind time for too long. You know, I got to take a little break. Also taking a break from the channel. I'm going to go ahead and give people a heads up, you know, about maybe a week or so, give or take a day. You know, that's coming up. By the time I drop this recording, which will probably be on Thursday, this Thursday. After that, I might be out for about a week. So y'all probably see me the next week, maybe Friday or Saturday, maybe, right? But yeah, man, I want to just go ahead and get in another episode with y'all and kind of, you know, talk about some big news that's coming up. You know, we have some big news, you know, in the world of WMMA, you know, after some good fights, you know, two good weekends in a row, you know, we had some good pay-per-view events. The UFC Fight Night card this past Saturday was crazy. So it's a lot to talk about, man. You know, a lot going on too, you know, coming up in the sport of, you know, WMMA as well. You know, danger ahead. You know, that's the name of this episode, danger ahead, you know, because we got some good fighters out there that got some tasks. Some big tasks ahead of them, some big tests, you know. So, you know, that's why I want to talk about this episode, danger. You know, we got a lot of good tests for these fighters on the come up, you know. So it's going down, man. It's going down, man. But, yeah, man, this past weekend, you know, like I said, I just been kind of trying to chill here and there. But, you know, I've been doing other stuff, too. So I'm going to be focusing on this other stuff I got going on, you know, as well. So, you know, that's why I want to take a little time off. So yeah, the weekend before that, you know, we had UFC 275. That was a good weekend, you know, for the world of WMMA. You know, Tyler Santos, she's been a big topic right now, you know, because she put on a great, good performance. I won't say great, but a good performance, you know. So we've been talking about that a lot, right? We've been talking about that a lot because, you know, Tyler's been making a name for herself in the flyweight division. Of course, Zhang Weili, you know, she's the topic of, one of the topics of this episode. I want to talk about Zhang Weili 3.0. You know, I want to discuss that a little bit. So we're going to talk Zhang Weili this episode, 3.0. Then, of course, I want to talk about the strawweight champion, Carla Esparza. You know, she's got a target on her back. You know, Zhang Weili called her out. So I want to talk about the call out and also Carla Esparza acknowledging Marina Rodriguez. Again, you know, she's looking at her as a potential contender. So I want to give my thoughts on that and, you know, where Marina Rodriguez stands. So we're going to discuss that. And then big danger ahead for one of my triple threats or quadruple threats, Manon Fiorot. She's going to be taking on Jessica Andrade. So, yes, Jessica Andrade. Yeah, y'all know why. We already been talking about why she taking on Jessica Andrade, but that's a big task right there. Danger, man. Just danger right there. So, yeah, those are the big topics I just want to discuss with y'all today. You know, those three big ones. And, you know, it's fight week. So I'll go over the fights that are coming up this weekend. It's not a major weekend. So with me taking this week off, you know, you're not really missing out on me discussing anything too much. Right. So, yeah, I'll run through the fights that are going down this weekend with y'all. But, yeah, UFC Austin, you know, UFC Austin. I just want to give my thoughts on UFC Austin a little bit. I enjoyed it. Let me just say that first off. I think this is probably one of the best non-pay-per-view cards, one of the best UFC fight night cards they put on in a minute. You know, right off the jump, we were getting finishes. I mean, I think out of 13 fights, we got 8 finishes. And I want to say on the prelims, 4 out of 5 of them were first round finishes. And even then, the fifth was a second round finish. So everybody was coming in to fight. Everybody was coming in to fight. I mean, the two WMMA fights on the cards were decisions, but they were still good. They were still good. They came to fight. They put on great performances. You know, Natalia Silva, you know, made her UFC debut against Jazzy Vicious. And, you know, she went in there and took her to school. Then you have Maria Oliveira and Gloria DePaula in there throwing down. I mean, they were just putting on an action-packed fight. Neither fighter really had, like, a lot of pop, but they were in there throwing down. They were throwing hands. So I enjoyed that fight. Like I said, I watched both of these fights on the level that they were on, and that's where I enjoyed them at. You know, I wasn't really looking for, like, you know, top tier fighters. You know, they're still trying to make names. You know, Natalia Silva, though, like skill wise, I think out of the women that night, she really impressed me. So when we look at technique and talent, yeah, keep your eyes on Natalia Silva. Definitely keep your eyes on her because she had me like on the edge of my seat with the performance she was putting on. So yeah, shout out to Natalia Silva. But overall, everybody was putting on good performances. You know, the men, a lot of first round finishes. Like I said, Yanez versus Tony Kelly, that was a satisfying first round knockout. Believe me, I loved it. I enjoyed that one. Shout out to Yanez for knocking this dude out who talked so much trash and couldn't make weight, right? So I enjoyed that. Joaquin Buckley, his finish over Duryev. Oh man, it was just an all around good fight. Tom Holland. In the main event too. The main event, you know, was a close fight. Some people thought it was a robbery, but you know, it's just another one of those close fights. You know, I can't really call it a robbery, you know. So I enjoyed it overall. Just all around good fights in that Rodriguez knockout too, man. Man, just so many knockouts and finishes, man. And I went to look up the how much money, you know, the revenue, the gross total revenue. I went to look that up for UFC Austin, and let me pull it up here. Yeah, the gross total was over 1.9 million. It was over 1.9 million. Attendance was over 13,000. And this was the highest grossing U.S. UFC fight night in company history. It's the second team. It's the 17th consecutive sellout arena in full capacity, with full capacity. So I was like, wow, you know, this really showed. It was like one of those nights where they really couldn't miss. Like everybody had good chemistry and whoever they was in there with. So the UFC needs to continue to do cards like this. You know, they just need to make the right matchups and really do research on what they did right this night. Like, they just have to find fighters with the energy. That's all it is. Like, I think if they just find the fighters that complement each other and that just want to fight and put on a good, entertaining matchup and want to, you know, they want to go in there and make a statement too. You know, that's how you're going to have like all around successful card. Like Jasmine, Jazzy Vicious, Natalia Silva. Well, Jazzy Vicious, let's focus on her. Like, she's not really like the best fighter in the world, but the energy that she brings in the crowd and the energy that she just wants to be a fighter, you know, whether she is on the losing end, it's going to make for a good fight, especially if you put her in there with somebody that can throw hands and that is an exciting fighter as well, right? So you get that type of energy when you match these type of fighters up. You know, Joaquin Buckley, you know, who somebody wants to go in there and finish you. Fighters like that, Yanez and Tony Kelly, you know, it's like a grudge match. They didn't like each other. So they just need to go on and continue to make matches like this where, you know, if you do a 13 fight card, make sure you have enough matches where you're going to get this type of energy. So yeah, man, shout out to the matchmakers for this one. You know, UFC Austin, I enjoyed it. You know, I definitely thought it was one of their best fight night cards in a minute. Yeah, for real though. But let me know what y'all think. But yeah, man, I wanted to go back and just talk about Zhang Weili a little bit. And that's one of the topics I wanted to just to kind of get into here today for this episode, because I call this episode Danger, because, you know, there's a lot of fighters on the come up, and even fighters just improving that are really looking to be danger and dangerous threats to a lot of these other fighters in the division. That's why I keep saying some of these other fighters, they need to be on the lookout. They need to start stepping up, because these other fighters that are really starting to take themselves seriously, like the fighters like Manon and Zhang Weili, they just spell danger right now. They spell danger. So, you know, somebody like Zhang Weili, after watching her performance 2 weekends ago against, you know, Joanna, even though people say, oh, Joanna was old and this and that, you still have to give Zhang Weili a lot of credit. You still got to give her a lot of credit for what she was able to do against Joanna, even an aging Joanna, because nobody's ever been able to do this to Joanna. And I think that if that was any other fighter in there, I don't think that they would have been able to do that. I don't think they would have been able to even get a victory over Joanna, because they would have been showing her a lot of respect. And that's the thing about Zhang Weili 3.0. I think Zhang Weili is finally getting it. I think she's finally getting that mental edge now, like where you got to just go in there and say, okay, we can be friends outside of the cage, or we can show mutual respect outside of the cage, but when we get in there, it's go time. I mean, she's always had that energy before, like she'll always be competitive and fight and look for finishes, but there was still something about her when you go back and look at like even the second Rose fight and just the attitude, you know, it was kind of like she was still trying to figure out what went wrong and, you know, how should I approach my opponent, you know, this go around, you know what I mean? So I think just switching up her training and, you know, figuring out what went wrong, you know, after that first loss, and understanding what she needed to, you know, incorporate in her training to become a complete fighter, I think it's really starting to open up. That's why I think 3.0 is a good, I think that's a good name for her now. You know, Zhang Weili 3.0 is definitely a level up for her, because, you know, even in the striking department, she's definitely improved with her boxing ability. I think her time is better. I think her choice of punches was much smarter this time. I think she was a little bit smarter than she was, you know, in the first Ioana fight. You know, timing Ioana off of the kicks, figuring out the rhythm of Ioana, and coming in and saying, okay, this is what we're going to do this time. We're going to make our power known. We're going to fight in the pocket now, but we're also going to use our wrestling. You know, her takedowns were much sharper. I mean, what'd she take Ioana down, like five out of five times in this fight, 4 out of 4 times in this fight? And the control, you know, the control, the ground and pound, it was just so much more sharper than it usually is. You know, that's why I say, okay, now we got the old Weili back, plus two more levels. You know what I mean? She really added more to her game. So I definitely see 3.0 here, you know, because Zhang Weili is, she's not playing. You know, she's been saying it, you know, she's been training hard. Like, she hasn't really take a lot of time off. She's been trying her best to get what she needs, you know, like, even like, did she say, I think she trained with Tiger Muay Thai this time around, except she trained in more of a secluded area. You know, it's more just like an off limits area with her and her team to really keep everything just confidential. You know, that was a big part of it. So I think that's what she needs to move forward in the future, you know, to really, really just surround herself with a better, stronger team that can just help her focus. You know, don't let any outside influences get to her. You know, no more social media, no crowd influence, none of that. You know, just do her. But yeah, what I saw Saturday night was definitely a good fighter that wants to improve, dangerous fighter, you know, for anybody in the strawweight division, somebody that's rebuilding after, you know, two back-to-back losses in Zhang Weili. I think that, of course, it needs to be tested again against these other styles, but I think beating somebody like Ioana at that level, even with 2 years off, says a lot, because, you know, Ioana, she's been staying in shape. You know, she's definitely been staying in shape. I know she was probably missing a beat, but it was just all around the mental and the confidence that Zhang Weili executed. Because like I said, some fighters probably would have went in there and showed Ioana more respect, but Zhang Weili didn't. You know, she came straight in there and said, I'm going straight for the kill this time. You know, no decision, you know, no fight of the night. I'm going to just beat you down. That's what we got, right? So, yeah, Zhang Weili 3.0 is going to come up. And Dana White pretty much promised, you know, the winner of this fight, the title shot. I think that's the way it's going to go. You know, she called out Carla Esparza. You know, of course, Carla Esparza said you're going to do this on her timeline. And, you know, I can't really disagree with her. But other than that, you know, Zhang Weili, she's looking sharp. And I definitely want to see that fight eventually, you know, her and Carla Esparza, because I want to see where that leads to. And I would like to see her and Rose do it again. You know, I would like to see her and Rose do it. I like to see her fight Andrade again, Marina Rodriguez. Just so many different styles out there in matchups. You know, strawweight's always a good division. But speaking of Carla, you know, yeah, definitely in the comment section, let me know what y'all think of Zhang Weili and how she looks now as well, though. You know, I definitely think she's making good improvements, you know, from what we've seen. Getting stronger, definitely getting stronger, you know. And I think that she's a problem for anybody in the division, this version, definitely. But, yeah, Carla Esparza. Let's talk about Carla Esparza a little bit. You know, Carla Esparza, she acknowledged the call out. You know, she did answer back to Zhang Weili when Zhang Weili said, hey, let's do it. UFC 281, October 22nd, Abu Dhabi, neutral ground. Let's do it. Me and you. Title shot. Why not? Right? She threw that out there. Of course, everybody was, you know, on the train. They said, yeah, Carla, get it. Go ahead and get your behind whoop. That's how everybody's thinking, right? They're like, yeah, you ain't got no weight. You know, you a paper champ. Some people are saying that. But Carla Esparza said, you know, I'm not hearing that. I'm the champion. I call the shots. We'll do this on my timeline. You know, we'll do this on my timeline. That's the way I see it. She didn't say anything about her ducking. She just said, look, we want to do this on my timeline. I'm not going to rush back in. I'm not going to feel the pressure like I did the first time. Like she said the first time around, when she did the fight with Ioana, she felt rushed because, you know, she fought 8 fights in 5 months, you know, all those tough house fights, the championship fight, then jump right back in with Joanna. She said she had an injury. I don't know about that because I don't remember hearing too much about it then. But she said she had an injury, but, you know, rush back in, fought Joanna. We all know how that went, right? But now she wants to take the time that she wants. So, like I said before when I did my video, some people disagree, agree, who cares. My thoughts on it, my position is that as the champ, she does have a right to say, I want to wait. You know, I want to wait on my timeline. You know, I want to come back on my time because I got things going on right now. She just got married. She's just been fighting a good amount of fights. She just won the belt. She just won it back in May. It wasn't the best fight in the world, probably the worst. But, you know, I still think she has the say-so. I think she still has the say-so. And I already did the math, you know, I measured it up. I said, okay, Zhang Weili, she just cracked a 2-fight losing streak with a very good second round knockout over Joanna, right? So she's 1-2 in her last fights. Then you got one fighter over here in Carla Esparza who's 6-0 not 6-0, but you know, she's on a 6-fight win streak, right? You got a fighter over here that's a 6-fight win streak, including 2 wins over the fighter that Joanna, that Zhang Weili couldn't beat. I think that stands for something. You know, the 5-fight win streak before the title shot for Carla Esparza were all top 15 opponents. Then she beats the champion at six fights in a row, right? So to me, that champion holds a lot of weight. You might not like her style, but I think that holds a lot of weight. Carla Esparza definitely has a leg to stand on to say, hey, I want to push this back. Or not even push it back, you know, because there's no date yet. She just wants to say, okay, I want to fight by the end of the year, you know, closer to the end of the year, like November or December. And I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that. You know, like I said, champions, sometimes it might take 6-7 months to come back just to get ready, especially when they got other things going on. They do have a life too, right? You know, and it's like I said, it's not like Carla is ever ducking a fight. Like, she's taking long layoffs. So I'm cool with that. You know, I'm definitely cool with that because for one, you know, again, the 6-fight winning streak is enough to me, enough for a leg for her to stand on to say, okay, yeah, like, we can wait. So, yeah, and I looked at a recent interview, too, which I'm going to talk about here in a minute, where she said that she wants to come back in November or December. Now, that's not very painful, is it? A lot of people, when they heard her say she didn't accept the October date and she didn't acknowledge that call out, everybody started calling her a coward. But she said, hey, I'll come back and I'll fight her in November or December. And that's all I was saying in my previous video before she did the interview. I said, okay, if she wants to close out the year in November, December, cool. You know, because maybe she has stuff going on in October, right? So that's all I'm saying. And it's not a duck. It's not a duck because, like I said, it's just her trying to pick the date and call the shots on that end. And I don't have a problem with that. You know, I know some people do, but what's 2 more months? To the spoil fan, it's a lot. I figured that out over the past few years. Some people just, when they don't like somebody, they let their feelings get in the way. They just can't decide. But me, like I said, I'm not like the huge Carla Esparza fan. And me, I would love to see Zhang Weili just go in there and fight. And I actually think Zhang Weili might win the fight. But I'm not going to say, oh, Zhang Weili calls the shots. You know what I mean? Just because I think she could probably win that fight. And I think she's more of a crowd-pleasing style. No, like, still think Carla Esparza has more of a leg to stand on. November, December is good for her, right? But here's some other things that Carla Esparza brought up. I just want to pull up here real quick. Let's see. I know with the mention of this, a lot of people are probably going to think this is a duck, but I don't think it is. I think she just brought up the fact that Marina Rodriguez tends to be more of a deserving contender than Zhang Weili, right? So danger, more danger here. This one ain't even, you know, this danger is not even coming from the cage, but we got more fans. I know they're going to be really hitting her hard on this one. So, We treading in the thin waters whenever Carla Esparza starts speaking, right? But let me look at this here real quick. Yeah, hold on here. Let's pull this thing up. Carla Esparza. Hold on. Let's go ahead and Carla Esparza argues Marina Rodriguez deserves title shot over Zhang Weili. She reveals the timeline for her next title defense. And like I said, which I just discussed, her title defense she's looking at is November, December. I think that's fine. But she also argues that Marina deserves a title shot more than Zhang Weili. So I want to give you my thoughts on that. Okay, so This is what she said. I don't think Zhang is more deserving. I think that Marina has won four straight. She said five straight, but you know it's four straight. I think she's beaten top-level competition. She's been staying active. And for me, she's proven herself. She deserves a title shot. But for whatever reason, I'm sure there's a lot that goes into it. And Wei Li is getting the shot. For me, I fight whoever's put in front of me. But doesn't necessarily mean I think it's fair or was the right call as far as the athlete goes. Okay? All right. So let's discuss that part first. Okay, so she thinks that Marina is more of a deserving fighter than Zhang Weili. And she would like to fight her, but she didn't say. She said, okay, however the politics work, she'll fight Zhang Weili, she'll fight Marina. It doesn't matter who. But my thoughts on that, I agree. And y'all know I agree because I've been saying that even before Joanna and Zhang Weili, the rematch took place, I wanted to see Marina Rodriguez get the title shot. I wanted to see her get the title shot because I said, okay, this young lady's already went 4-0 in the past year or so. And I know Yan Xiaonan fight wasn't the best performance. I thought Yan Xiaonan pulled it out, but on paper, it's a 4-0, right? So she has a 4-0 over four top 10 opponents, right? Waterson, Dern, Ebos, and Yan Xiaonan, okay? That sounds like somebody that does deserve a title shot. That's why even before Joanna and Zhang Weili even pinned their fight and signed their contract, I said Marina deserved that fight, right? And some people argue with me and disagree with me on that. A lot of people that thought so too, that, hey, she does deserve it. And even with Zhang Weili defeating Joanna, even in this fashion, I still been saying that Marina deserved it. I just been kind of going with the flow because I said, okay, Dana already made his statement that the winner of Joanna Wei Li gets the fight, right? So we just been talking about that because it sounds like that's the fight that's going to be signed. So I'm just going with that. So whenever I mention Wei Li now, it's not that I'm saying she deserves it, but it seems that she is the one that's going to be in that position. So that's how I've been discussing in that fashion. But if you really asked me who I wanted to see get the next title shot, I'd say it's Marina. You know why? Because she's on a 4-0 win streak. Now, a lot of people will say, no, Wei Li gets it because she beat Joanna. But I'm like, come on now. Joanna's been out for 2 years. You know, she's been out for 2 years, and that's only one fight. Wei Li technically, you know, doesn't really fit this contender. She doesn't fit that title shot contender yet because she just cracked the 2-fight losing streak. She just lost to Rose Namajunas 2 times, right? She just beat Joanna now. So in that fashion, she doesn't really deserve it. I mean, politically, she's going to get it. So that's why we discuss it. But to me, I'm with Carlo on this as well, that Marina deserves it because Marina has been working hard. She fought 4 fights in a row and won. And she's already voiced her opinion about fighting Carlo again. She said, the only way I'll fight Carlo again is if it's for the title. So now that kind of fits it, right? As y'all know, last time Carla and Marina, they fought before a non-title fight, close fight. Some people thought Marina won, people thought Carla won. Carla got the split decision, right? That was her very first loss in the UFC. So Marina wants that get back on that. That's why she's really been working hard, you know? So I think that in a lot of ways, Marina, she's been doing a little bit more when it comes to just staying on that humble path and, you know, really working her way towards getting the title shot, you know, just fight after fight until they call her. But it's like Dana still won't give it to her because he's looking at the bigger picture and money and dollars with Zhang Weili, right? So on this one, I agree with Carla. You know, if you just look at who's doing the hard work, I agree. But if you disagree, I mean, I can make the argument all day on why Marina gets it because some people say, oh, some people actually did say that, oh, no, Marina doesn't deserve it because she hasn't fought nobody on that level. But I'm like, what do you mean she hasn't fought nobody on that level? She just beat 4 fighters in the top 10. That's all you really need, right? I mean, who else is she going to fight? Joanna didn't want to fight her, right? Zhang Weili's not in a position to fight her. At the time, Rose wasn't in a position to fight her. And, I mean, she is now. But it's still like Marina has enough on her resume to qualify for that. That's why I tell people they really need to check their history before they just start saying who doesn't deserve it or not. Because, you know, some people, they don't stay consistent because if they go back and look, how many other these fighters have really went on big win streaks to get their first title shot, right? Or how many really went against tough competition to get their first title shot? Because, I mean, if you really want to look at it, okay, we go back to Rose Namajunas, right? Rose beat, off top now, Rose beat, in no particular order, I know she beat three fighters. She beat Tisha Torres in a rematch, which was very close. She beat Angela Hill, and she beat Paige VanZant. Then she lost to Karolina Kowalkiewicz, right? She lost to Karolina Kowalkiewicz. Then she beats Michelle Waterson. Then she gets the title shot, right? So if you look at the three fighters even then that she beat, those were lower level on the strawweight. You know, Angela Hill, Paige, and Tisha was probably the best one that she beat. But then she lost to Karolina. Then she lost to the second tier when she lost to Karolina. Then she beat a second tier or third tier Michelle Waterson. Then she got a title shot, right? So she didn't go on a perfect win streak before she got her title shot and became champion, right? That's what I'm saying. People don't look at that. So they'll say, oh, like Marina needs to fight this top-level fighter first. Rose didn't fight a top-level fighter. If anything, she did fight one of the best, one of the probably the second-level tier, I'd say, back then in Karolina, and she lost. And she lost, right? So she had to fight a lower tier, Michelle Waterson, beat her, and then she got a title shot, okay? All right, now stay with me. So that happened. Then if you look at Zhang Weili, some people before used to talk about her fighters. They say she skipped the level. Some people say, oh, she skipped the level. Like, that's why she lost to Rose. Now, off top, Zhang Weili went on a 3-fight win streak before she fought Jessica Andrade. She fought Danielle Taylor, Jessica Aguilar, and Tisha Torres, right? She beat those three fighters. So she goes on a 3-fight win streak in the UFC, and then she gets a title shot. And those weren't like the three best fighters in the division. You know what I mean? Like, they weren't like three elite fighters. Like, she never fought that second tier, that tough tier. She went straight into a title shot. So when people say Marina doesn't deserve it, I'm like, what are y'all watching? Like, y'all forget that fast? See, Marina, she beat Dern, Waterson, Yan Zhanan. I know it was a close fight, right? And she beat Dern, Ibas, Waterson, and Yan Zhanan, right? All in the top 10, you know, as well. All in the top 10. She beat four fighters. So to me, that sounds like a fighter that deserves a title shot as well. Just like these two ladies did, like just like Rose and Zhang Weili have done, you know. So when people say, oh, she needs to beat somebody at the top, she doesn't necessarily have to, you know, she doesn't necessarily have to do that. So I agree with Carla, like Marina actually does deserve it. She's 4-0 right now, whereas Zhang Weili is 1-2. But when it comes down to it, she says she'll fight anybody because she knows how it's going to go down. And we pretty much know how it is, too. Like Dana White already said that this fighter is the number one contender, the winner of Zhang Weili Ioana. And I remember there was a time, too. Also, a lot of people aren't being consistent again. There was a lot. It was not too long ago. I remember I even did a video because I said that there were three strawweight fights I wanted to see. Rose and Carla 2, which already happened, turned out to be a bad fight. I wanted to see Mackenzie Dern and Marina Rodriguez. That turned out to be a good fight. And the third one I wanted to see was Weili and Ioana. I wanted to see that rematch. I didn't necessarily say it was going to be a title shot. I just wanted to see that fight play out to see a clear winner. And I remember people saying that they didn't even want to see that fight because they was like, I don't want to see either one of them get a title shot, right? So there was a lot of people back then that didn't want to see Zhang Weili get a title shot, even if she beat Ioana. I remember this stuff now. Some people, they was like, no, Zhang Weili, if she beat Ioana, she don't deserve a title shot. She don't deserve that title shot. But now that Carla got the belt, they want to be like, oh, she deserves it now. Just because they don't want to see Carla get the belt. But that's the thing. I'm just saying, like, people ain't being consistent when they let their feelings get in there. You know what I mean? But you got to look at it this way. No, like, Carla's right in this manner that Marina does deserve it. You know, she does deserve it a little bit more than Zhang Weili, right? And that's all I'm just saying. I'm just saying, like, people need to be consistent on what they say sometimes, because I'll be looking at these comments or you know, people getting back at me saying, oh, no, Marina, she needs to fight this former champion or this person, or need to beat like 8 or 9 people before she get a title shot. But I'm like, why she got to do that? But Zhang Weili and Rose didn't have to do it, you know? So it's crazy. It's crazy. You know, just some fighters like Carla and Marina, they have to win all these fights in a row to get that title shot. But it is what it is. You know, it's politics. And like I said, people getting in their feelings. But yeah, I agree with Carl on that. But if Zhang Weili gets the title shot, like I said, I'll be entertained just because I want to see what she can do now, and I do want to see if she can be a three, if she can be a two-time champion now, you know, because that's the way it's going to play out. That's the way Dana wants it. So we're pretty much going to have to go in thinking that this is the next fight. But I also agree with Carla wanting it to be in November, December. You know, it's not like a long way off. She just probably said, okay, this is my time frame, already been working out. But, you know, out of left field, Zhang Weili tries to call out and get it started early, but she just ain't ready. So I stick with that. You know, that's, like I said, that's my opinion. So you can't really change my mind on that. Because like she said here, ideally, November to December seems fine for me. Even if I have to do a little bit of rehab over the next month and not kick up training mode, fight camp style quite yet, at least it'll give me time to recover. So she just got a little bit of recovering to do. So, okay. So, yeah, she just wants to try to get her time out. She just don't want to go in and try to lose the belt. She actually wants to, you know, get a fighting chance. I have no problem with that, you know. But, yeah, guys, let me know what y'all think in the comment section. I don't have any issues with that. But let me see. There's something else she said here. She turned. Let's see. She said, if anybody claims, well, this part of the article says, if anybody claims Esparza is ducking the fight by asking for a later date, the 34-year-old veteran is quick to point out she's twice accepted Zhang as an opponent, and she's not the reason the matchup didn't happen. She turned him down when she was champion. I'm not afraid to fight anybody, but I've just got to do it on my timeline. Okay, so she said before she's offered to fight Zhang Weili, but the fight was turned down two times. Okay, so that's just to prove another thing. So, yeah, I never really thought Esparza was ducking the fight. I mean, you know, Esparza's been fighting everybody, so I don't really see that as an issue. But when the fight happens, you know, when it does happen, yeah, I gotta say, you know, Zhang Weili has a great chance in this fight because, yeah, she's just so much more athletic and so physical. So, politics aside, I mean, when it goes down the cage, yeah, Zhang Weili, she definitely has a good chance to win the fight, you know. And, yeah, I just wanted to kind of go through that with y'all and give y'all my thoughts. But, yeah, there's danger ahead, though. Like I said, Carla, you know, she's got a target on her back, whether it be Marina or Zhang Weili. They're both, you know, very dangerous contenders right now for her. You know, Marina's improving. I know that's the style she's seen before. But I think, you know, Marina could get it this time around, you know, for sure. But let me know, guys, what y'all think on that whole situation. Do y'all still think Marina or Zhang Weili, who do y'all think deserves a title shot more, really? But yeah, let's move on to this topic. More danger. Oh, man. Caitlin Chikagian. I already thought that was a good serious threat for Manon Fiorot, but Caitlin Chikagian, you know, like I said before, she didn't officially agree to the fight with Manon. She pulls out, and Jessica Andrade steps in. That's right. Jessica Andrade is stepping in September 3rd, UFC Paris or UFC France against Manon Fiorot. And my thoughts, as soon as I heard her fight, I was like, oh, boy. I was like, oh, boy. You know, because for one, you know, I was disappointed. It was an oh, boy as in being disappointed in Caitlin Chikagian. And then it was an oh, boy as in, oh, man, Andrade. Andrade is, you know, a beast. And she, you know. That's all I have to say, you know. All I have to do is just say Jessica Andrade, and y'all know what I'm talking about here. But Manon Fiorot is in for a big one here. Not just a test, but she's really in for a big fight here. You know, I had my eyes set on the Chikagian fight just because I thought that was a fight that would have tested out Manon's ability to really make adjustments and really test her IQ and just really test her gas tank. But this one here is really going to test a lot of the opposite. You know, it's going to test what she already has, how good is her striking, how effective she is with her size and her strength, and test the chin. You know, it's really going to test the chin, but it's also going to test the cardio. You know, this is a fight that's going to test the cardio because, you know, Andrade is a little monster that just keeps coming and gets better and better. You know, so my thoughts on this fight when I heard this one was announced, I was like, you know what? This is still another big one for Manon. And, you know, regardless of the ranking, you know, where Andrade is at number four, I think that this is still a fight that's going to push Manon to title shot level or contender status level, you know, if she gets by her. You know, of course, with Chikagian being number one, that was going to guarantee her probably like the title shot maybe after Misha Tate, right? But this one here, if you can get by a monster like Jessica Andrade, you pretty much got it. And especially depending on the fashion. Like, if Minogue goes in there and, you know, just dispatches with her, like, even better than Valentina, that's pretty much going to say, okay, Minogue's ready. You know, Minogue's already got by that one gatekeeper, like I talked about in my other video, right? So Minogue Fiorot still has a good test here. You know, it was going to either be Caitlyn or Jessica Andrade that you need to get by to get to Valentina Shevchenko. The thing about this one is, this one's so much more dangerous. It's so much more dangerous because, you know, Andrade, she doesn't have those technical skills, and, you know, she's not really bringing that type of point fighting style like Caitlyn Shevchenko. She's just going to be bringing, like, all of that natural ability. And, you know, I'm still on the edge of my seat here because, you know, even though I see a lot of this great stuff in Minogue, I want to just automatically say, oh, she can thrash her and beat Andrade. But I still have to say, oh, okay, can Minogue's chin handle this? Can her body handle this? You know, can her body handle those body shots from Andrade? Like, can she avoid the slam like Valentina did? You know what I mean? Or will she fall victim like all these other fighters have? You know, that's still like a big question here. You know, because Minogue, you know, she's a very big flyweight, but, you know, Andrade at flyweight, other than Valentina Shevchenko, I think that she fills out nicely here, and she still has enough power to get respect from these girls and still, you know, hurt a lot of them, like she did Calvillo and Chikagian. But then again, that is Calvillo and Chikagian. You know, they're not really known for, like, that core strength and that physical strength like Minogue has, you know? So just like an early look into this fight, you know, Minogue is really going to have to be fighting with, you know, that ability to not just dominate, but not break focus at any moment. Like, you know, you see what happens when you do break focus against a fighter like Andrade. Like, when you go back and look what Rose did for one round, then when she broke focus in the second round, you see what happened to her, right? Caitlyn Chikagian, you know, she could have had some success, but by the end of that first round, the minute she let Andrade close in, she was done, you know? So for Minogue, this has to be a fight where, you know, she has to be turned on in a different way than Caitlyn Chikagian. You know, where it was Caitlyn Chikagian, you know, she had to make sure she had all of her abilities to close in and just dominate Caitlyn Chikagian and look good and not look bad. But this one here, you have to be in there, you know, ready to fight for your life, fight for respect, fight to kill and fight to stop Andrade, because that's the type of fighter that she is. When she's coming in at you, you have to be set. You know, you have to be set with your skills that you know you possess. Like, I know that Minogue possesses better movement on the feet and better stand-up than Andrade, but can she keep it going for the amount of rounds that she needs? That's the question. And the other question is, can she hurt Andrade? Can she get respect from her? Can she hurt her enough to just tactically break her down and stop her? Those are the questions that we need answered in this fight. Of course, I could say, yeah, because she's this big, but I don't know that because, you know, she didn't finish Mayra Buena Silva. She didn't finish Jennifer Maya, you know, so will she be able to sit down enough against a fighter that looks to get into the pocket very quickly? You know, Jessica Andrade moves quick. You know, she moves really quick. So the question is, can Minogue sit down on her shots long enough to get off and get out? Like, can she set those pretty counters up in those check right hooks? You know, of course she could probably set up some good check right hooks, but will she land hard enough to drop Jessica Andrade, like in the fashion that Wei Li did, you know, at the, what, like 2-3 years ago in their strawweight fight? Those are questions. Like, if you think about it, it's possible because, you know, Minogue Fiorot, she's like a big, strong, athletic version of, or just as, you know, big and strong athletic version of Zhang Weili in some ways. I mean, they're two different styles, but they both move fast and they both can strike off the back foot. So, you know, Minogue could have that advantage there against Jessica Andrade. I mean, she already does have a lot of good advantages, but it's all about that focus, though. It's all about that focus and, you know, being able to stay away from that natural ability, you know. So many fighters fall victim to it. But once you can pass that test, once you get by that danger, it proves that you are that next level. Like, whenever you see what Joanna did, you know, Joanna, you know, she got picked up a couple times. You know, she got hit with some Andrade shots a few times. But other than that, she won every five rounds. You know, she won every round. She won five rounds against Jessica Andrade. And to be able to do that, stay in there with five rounds, that shows that's how good you are. So the question is, can Manon do that for three rounds? Like, even if she can't stop her, do you think she can go in there and control her for three rounds? And if she can do that, if she can do that, even like in the fashion that Joanna did, she's passed the test. But you know she's really clear that test if she could go in there and manhandle Andrade like Valentina did. Like, she go in there and ragdoll Andrade, you know, all over the place on the ground, ground and pound and finish. Oh, man, yeah, she'd be next level for sure, right? So, yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to this one. You know, I really like the style matchup with Caitlin and Manon, but, you know, I definitely take this because it's going to prove some things. It's going to prove some things. And I really do want to see Manon win this fight because it's new blood. We should all be cheering for Manon to win this fight. It's not, even if you aren't like a big fan of Manon, like, that has nothing to do with that. You should want to see it because we know if Andrade wins, she's not going to get a title shot. Andrade need to go back down to strawweight. That's where I thought she was at, right? But now that she's here, I hope that Manon sends her back to 115 because Andrade winning is not going to do anything for the division, right? It's not going to do anything for the division. At least if Chikagan did win, she would get her rematch. She actually wants the rematch with Valentina at some point because that's the way she wants to cap off her career, right? So, yeah, it's a crazy match, I know. It's definitely a dangerous match for Manon Fiorot because, you know, Jessica Andrade just has that reputation. You know, she's still in her prime. Technically, I haven't really seen her get really, like, make a lot of improvements. I haven't really seen her get any better. She just stays dangerous. Like, she's always the same dangerous fighter, but I don't think, like, she's really, like, technically gotten any better. Like, the head movement thing she did for, like, one fight, but other than that, I haven't really seen her, like, move her head or get better with her straight strikes. So there's no danger in that, but, you know, Manon just always has to be careful in this fight. Always has to be careful, you know, with body shots, head shots. So I think early look, you know, Manon just needs to keep this as a distance fight. You know, take a page out of Joanna's book, a little bit out of Rose's book from the first round, and that's it. You know, she can win this thing for sure. All right, yeah, but y'all guys, let me know in the comment section what y'all think of the fight against Jessica Andrade. Did y'all want to see the Chikagan fight more, or does it matter to you? You think Jessica Andrade is still just as big as a test and it's going to be more of an explosive, exciting fight? Let me know, guys. But, yeah, last topic, just want to go over fight week with y'all real quick before I, you know, get up out of here. Fight week, like I said, it's not too big, you know, not nothing. There's nothing really too big on this UFC Fight Night card coming up. But Friday we have Bellator 282, right? So let me go ahead and pull that up first. Let me pull up Bellator 282 with y'all. And then I'll go over the UFC Fight Night card because there's only one fight there. So, yeah, Bellator 282 on Friday. We have flyweight division. We have Alejandra Lara versus Ilara Iwani. That should be a good fight. Should be a good stand-up fight. You know, I think that Lara, you know, she's a bit of a brawler. Iwani, she picks her shots nicely. She throws some nice kick. She throws some nice punches. You know, she's a good kickboxer. Early look on that one, I have to go with Lara. You know, I think she's just a bit of a tough, scrappy fighter. And, you know, she comes in kind of, you know, big sometimes. You know, she's a kind of a big flyweight. So I think that's something that, you know, Iwani, I'm not sure if she's used to. You know, somebody likes to go to the ground and that can really grapple because she had success on the feet against Kana Watanabe. Kana Watanabe was able to walk through a lot of her shots, get her down, and actually submit her. So I think that Lara might have that edge either, you know, in the pocket, or if it gets to the ground, I favor Lara. You know, she does get some takedowns on Iwani. So early look, I'm looking at Lara in that fight. Then, of course, we got Kat Zingano and Pam Bam Sorensen in the featherweight division. Definitely want to see this fight here. You know, I want to see Pam Bam go in there. You know, she's been working hard trying to get to that title shot. You know, she had one setback against Arlene Blinko. But, you know, she getting back in there against a veteran in Kat. Kat, you know, she says she wants to work. You know, she needs some tune-ups before she gets to Chris Cyborg. I really don't see Pam as a tune-up for. I think she's going to be a real challenge. Kat Zingano, she has a lot going for her. You know, she's physically strong. She's got that wrestling. She got lethal knees in the clinch. But I think Pam Bam, you know, she's pretty sharp with her, you know, with her kickboxing. And, you know, she's technical on the ground as well. I kind of lean towards Pam Bam in this one. You know, I am leaning towards Pam Bam, but anything can happen in this fight. You know, Kat Zingano, you know, she's just very strong. You know, she's a very strong fighter, especially with that wrestling when she gets a hold of you. So we'll see. And supposedly, if Kazengano wins this, she says she's looking for Chris Cyborg. But then again, Pam Bam is, you know, Pam's always calling for the smoke. She says she'd fight Chris before this fight. So, hey, I know if she wins against Kat, she's guaranteed to get that shot. She's really going to call out Chris Cyborg. So, yeah, shout out to Pam Bam, though, definitely. Yeah, so those are the two fights for Bellator 282 on Friday. And like I said, the UFC Fight Night card on Saturday, only one fight. One strawweight fight, Vanessa Demopoulos versus Jin Yu Fry. Striker versus grappler, I could see this fight playing out that way. Jin Yu Fry, I think she can do whatever it calls for in the situation. Like if Jin Yu Fry fights a better striker, she goes to the ground. If she fights a better grappler, she stays on her feet. Vanessa Demopoulos, very tough, strong. She can slug with you a little bit. Takes a lot of damage, though. But the one thing I always say about her, stay away from her on the ground. She's that dangerous. This girl is athletic. You've seen her pole dancing. She flips. She splits. She does all these crazy moves the way she maneuvers. She transitioned it to grappling very well. So when you go down to the ground with her, she will submit you. I said that about a lot of her fights where fighters go, they make that mistake. They let her lure them into the ground. She submits them. Happened to Sam Hughes, happened to Juarez, happened to some other fighters. Stay away from her on the ground. So in this fight, Jin Yu Fry, if she keeps it standing, I think she wins. But if she goes down to the ground, she's going to make a mistake against Vanessa Demopoulos. So if I had to pick a winner here, it's 50-50. On the feet, it's going to be Jin Yu Fry. On the ground, it'll be Demopoulos by submission. So, yeah. Yeah, so those are the three fights that we have for WMMA fans. Oh, yeah. And Friday, we got BKFC. BKFC Friday, we have Beck Rollins and Britton Hart about to run it back. This will be their rematch to their fight at like 3-4 years ago, I think. I think Beck Rollins won a split decision that first go around. So, yeah, we'll see where this goes. I think it might lead to another title shot for whoever wins this fight. So, yeah, you know, BKFC is always a fun, you know, it's always a fun night. You know, they always have a good fun card where they have some MMA fighters come over to the world of BKFC. And, you know, it's a different world. You know, it's not boxing. BKFC is a different thing. You know, bare knuckle boxing is definitely a lot different than traditional boxing, you know. So it can get really bloody and get scrappy in there. Hands get messed up. Faces really get torn up, you know, sometimes a little bit easier than in boxing, right? A lot of the times a little bit more easier than boxing, right? So, yeah, man, I'm definitely going to be checking those fights out on Friday. Bellator, BKFC, and UFC Fight Night card in general. I'm going to watch the whole card. So, yeah. But that's all we got as far as with WMMA fans that I wanted to fill y'all in on. So, yeah, man, final thoughts for this episode. Like I said, a lot of danger ahead here for everybody. You know, there's a target on everybody's head here, you know, whether it be Carl Esparza, Manon Firo. You know, there's always danger whenever, you know, fighters that really figure out the game, you know, they really see the big picture and they start to improve and they want to make improvements to their style and become complete fighters, they're always going to be there. You know, Tyler Santos, again, Zhongwei Li, Marina Rodriguez, Manon, all these different fighters, Aaron Blanchfield, you know, that are going to come up. You know, they see it. You know, they vision themselves as the champion. So they go in there with dominant performances. So, you know, those are the ones to look out for. You know, those are the fighters that, you know, just spell danger for whoever's ahead, right? So, yeah, final thoughts. Zhongwei Li, you know, I definitely want to see her make improvements, you know, get to be a better fighter. Whether or not, you know, she deserves to call a shot, you know, she gets it. I don't mind waiting until November, December. If Marina actually slid in there, I'd be cool with that. You know, I'd be cool with that. Andrade Firo, I love it. You know, I think it's going to be a good fight. I don't see it going the distance. If it does, you know, Manon better make sure she's on her game and she can win a decision. For real. But, yeah, fight week, my picks, you know, I'm going to go with Alejandro Lara, Pam Bam, and Jin Yu Fry. Just some fun picks. So, you know, I'm going to just go with those. Let me know who you guys got, though. As far as the BKFC, I'll go with Britton Hart this time in the rematch. Yeah. So, yeah, guys, like I said, this will be my only episode I'm going to be dropping this week or, you know, for the next week or so, next week and a half. Definitely taking some time off. Like I said, I dropped this on Thursday, so I'll probably be out from after I drop this episode until the weekend of 4th of July, because that's the fight card with Tate Murphy and Macy Barber and Jessica. So that's when I'll be back. I'll be back the night to call that fight, I think. You know, no live streams all the way from the week on, and you know, just gonna be out. It's gonna be out for a while, guys. So yeah. Make sure y'all subscribe though. And in the meantime, y'all can still listen to some other videos and listen to this podcast stream. You know what I mean? You know, just go back and listen to some old stuff. Subscribe to iTunes show. The show on iTunes, Spotify, TuneIn, Google Play, all of that. You know, all of that. Wherever you listen to your podcast, you can hear this show. And you also hear it on Combo Breaker 99, the YouTube channel. So yeah, man. I'll catch y'all in a week, guys. But like I said, not much going on this week, but we'll catch up. Combo Breaker 99, I'm out, guys. Subscribe. Peace.